Guys, it's that special time of year again. It's almost Father's Day.
Which is pretty special for you now, right?
Yeah, because have we even mentioned that on the podcast?
Probably not.
I'm going to be a dad.
What are we doing today?
Well, we're going to talk about our list that we all came up with of...
I don't know about all.
Okay. We sort of came up with... Brad and I came up with some stuff. Ellis did find a list.
I found a list, but it was the same list Brad found, so I was like, whatever.
Ellis, it was also the first list on Google search.
I didn't try very hard. I'll be honest.
Ellis pulled a lot of weight for the podcast for all the anime episodes, and now he's just
I'm taking the back seat again. This is back where I belong.
But yeah, we're doing a bracket.
Yeah.
Hosted and managed by our boy Andrew. He's running it. And we'll figure out our favorite.
Yeah, this movie is dad. Basically it's the best and worst movie dads of all time.
Yeah.
And we're going to break it down to one movie dad that I guess we're giving the gold medal to. And we don't even know what the criteria is for that. It's either they're the worst or the best.
We're going to just talk it out and figure it out.
They may be the most memorable or the most iconic.
Yeah. Maybe the most iconic.
Okay.
And we can just talk about their movies.
Because some of them are terrible dads. Some of them are really good dads.
Yeah, because I feel like if it was just good versus dad bads, the dad bads would...
Dad bads. Huh?
Let's just... The bad dads would be out immediately.
You're like a robot for a second. Just dad bad. Okay, so let's
do it. I feel like we got plenty of options. Let's not waste time.
Go.
Definitely. So in round one, we've got Daniel Hillard, which is the dad from Mrs. Doubtfire, versus Vito Corleone.
Fight!
Okay.
Wait, Vito Corleone?
Sure. I didn't know how to pronounce it. I took my best stab. Okay.
Wait, have you never seen The Godfather?
Nope.
Oh, okay, wow. Right.
Who was the first one?
Daniel Hillard, which is the dad from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay. So Robin Williams.
Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire. Okay, let's start there.
I guess I could have just said Mrs. Doubtfire.
All right. Mrs. Doubtfire, a story about a man who is...
Estranged from his family?
He's estranged. He's a little bit of a mess up, you know? He gets in a little bit of trouble with the family, and he's kind of, I guess, not there for the kids a lot. He's a voice actor or something in the story.
It's been a long time since I've seen the movie.
I just remember the movie opening with him playing, like, this Tweety Bird type character. He's in there doing, like, ADR or, like, you know, voiceover work. Anyways, he has to... He comes up with a crazy, insane plan, which is he's going to pose as the new nanny. Thoughts on the efficacy of this?
I feel like it's kind of weird getting close to the family still, even though
it's a little divorced, borderline psychotic,
but it's coming from a good place because it's ultimately for the...
But is that how they like, it's because they shape the story that way that it seems endearing?
That's a good point.
Because in any normal circumstance, that would be like crazy psychotic.
He would go to jail.
Immediately.
Like this, that's like the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? He's trying to do something good, but in a really weird way. And think about the emotional trauma these kids will have for years.
Exactly.
And he's just lying to his family.
I would bring up the point with Vito Corleone, the emotional trauma that his kids had for years. Michael Corleone's a messed up dude.
Yes.
Sonny gets killed. You know, they massacred my boy. You know, cut to that clip.
Look how they massacred my boy.
And, you know, Frito is...
Frito Lays.
Yep, Frito Lays.
Is Frito, you know? They're all messed up.
Yeah,
people,
he was like stuck in some bean dip.
Look. Compared between the two
movies... Man, I gotta watch this movie.
Sounds good.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Between the two, Mrs. Doubtfire definitely seems the more harmless of the two.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And I love Robin Williams, like, so much. So... And to be fair, I'm kind of joking because that when I saw the movie, I didn't think those things of it being like... He's being a kind of a bad father.
It's one of those things like... After the movie and then probably sitting on it for years and you read stuff online and someone has that thought of like, actually, this was kind of messed up. Yeah. And you go, you know what? It was messed up. Yeah, but the way the movie paints it, and, yeah, you know, it's all good intentions. And it works out in the end.
Exactly. And just Robin Williams' performance is phenomenal. Amazing. I mean, he's so great with voices. And then he does all those, like, it's a drive-by fruiting, you know, all that stuff. Classic. I mean, I love that movie.
Are we going to base it off of performance?
I don't know.
If it was performance, I'd give it to Robin Williams.
Over Marlon Brando?
It's a vote, right? So it's whatever you want. Yeah, yeah. So I'm voting for Mrs. Doubtfire.
I would still go Mrs. Doubtfire.
I would vote Mrs. Doubtfire because as well.
I think my goodness, the first one was unanimous.
Vito Corleone, he ain't that good of a dad, unfortunately. Yeah.
I don't think Mrs. Doubtfire will make it much farther, but
we'll see. We'll see.
She's probably not making it past the next round, but final answer?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, Doubtfire.
Who's next on the list?
Up next in round two, we've got Mr. Incredible versus George McFly.
Fight!
Oh, from Back to the Future.
That's a really hard one.
Interesting. That's a interesting pair.
Well,
pros and cons.
First impression, George McFly is sort of a pushover almost the entire movie.
Yeah.
And does that make him a bad dad?
I think at the beginning of the movie, he's not a great dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
He definitely has his redemption arc towards the end. And
hey, McFly.
Hey, McFly.
This is tough.
It's weird, too, because he's not like, it's not like the story's about him a lot.
And the mom's way more of a character.
She is. I mean, it is about him in the sense that he has to go back in time, like, or he's trying to keep his parents together so he survives.
Yeah, well, the thing too, though, is Mr. Incredible is a little selfish because he's like trying to relive his glory days at the sake of like his family's like happiness and just like having this like normal life. Not to mention that at the beginning he's kind of like an a-hole to like Syndrome's whoever that kid's was or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like overall Mr. Incredible is like he's good towards the end. It's a good story about bringing a family back together and like overcoming odds, but he's not a very good dad at the beginning.
Yeah.
And are we only basing them, both of these characters, really off of the first movies?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, because Incredibles 2, he's a much more fatherly figure.
Yeah.
George McFly, he's definitely a pushover. That's really his whole character. Like,
and he kind of overcomes it.
He does. He in the end, he knocks out
Biff. And then he's cool, you know, in the new timeline.
That's true. When he comes back to the future.
He's a cool dad.
When he comes back to the future. Whoops. Whoa. Didn't even mean to do that.
But to be fair, that was all because of Marty McFly and his influence. So if it wasn't for Marty McFly, George McFly would have stayed
But he had to give birth to Marty for him to one day change him.
That's heavy.
Including time travel is like insane.
Okay, here's a little quick side off. Who's a better father, George or Marty in Back to the Future 2? You can't answer since you haven't seen a second.
George.
I think George is a better father than Marty.
Yeah. I feel like I'm gonna go with George McFly on this one. I like him as a character. I like the Back to the Future series a lot more than the Incredibles.
I'm going to go with George McFly as well.
I was
going to
vote The Incredibles.
Okay.
All right.
2-1.
2-1 vote.
George McFly.
McFly. Who is next?
In round three, we've got Marlin from Finding Nemo versus Atticus Finch from How to Kill a Mockingbird.
Fight!
I think that's
To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
it's a how-to.
Sorry.
Step one.
I tried my best. At least I know who this character is.
Yeah. Well, true. I'm similar here. I don't know this that well enough to really.
You don't know To Kill a Mockingbird that well?
I remember it from high school, you know, but it's like, I don't know the story that well.
I was shown the movie by my father when I was like 6, and that's the only time I've ever seen that movie.
I remember Boo Radley and kind of the whole, I understand the, I guess the message, you know, but I don't remember what Atticus really does in the movie.
He's an attorney. He's defending, I want to say, the, man who was accused of raping the woman, you know. It's the whole southern thing, you know, dealing with racism, but I would say Atticus Finch is a really good father. He does a lot to instill really great values into his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he's a single dad too. The mother's not really in the picture. So he takes a lot of time of instilling stuff into Scout. And I forget her brother's character's name, but like, I would say he's a really good father.
Scout.
But
that stuff's coming back
to him. Marlin all day, though. He literally travels across the ocean. So first off, he loses his wife, all of his kids. He's got one little egg left, which he nurtures, raises him up into a young boy, and he's overprotective. He doesn't want any harm to come to his kid based on his past experiences. Kid goes missing, goes across the entire freaking ocean.
Overcoming his greatest fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
To find his child and bring him home safely. That is like the most ideal father figure.
Also against all odds. Like he should have died.
Oh yeah.
You also didn't let me finish. I was going to say Marlin. I feel like both of them are great dads.
Yeah. So these are tough because they're both really good father figures.
I'm gonna vote Marlin. I don't remember enough about To Kill a Mockingbird, unfortunately.
How to Kill a Mockingbird.
Let me tell you, y'all's English teachers, like high school English teachers, are like withering inside because they're like, why? I tried to teach these guys so much.
We did Huckleberry Finn.
It's okay. It's not their fault. It's, Ellis, you know how you get too much information in your brain. Some of it has to go out.
Oh, I delete a lot of stuff all the time.
Something comes in. Something's going out, dude. I can't keep
it all. I'm at full capacity all the time. Something's got to go.
I'm voting for Marlin as well.
Oh, you know what? Just to spite y'all, I'll
stand up for Atticus. It's okay. We still won.
He's still lost.
Marlin.
That's my boy, Marlin.
Is the winner.
All right. In round four, we've got Cobb from Inception versus Brian Mills, which is the dad from Taken.
Fight!
Oh no. That's a tough one.
Dude,
that's
really hard. I feel like those are very similar dads. They're going to go out of their way to get their kids.
Extreme odd. Yeah, extreme danger. Like real.
Is this all intentional? Or is this randomized?
This is random.
This is random.
If it were intentional, Mufasa and Darth Vader would be against each other.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Dude, I don't know. Well, pros and cons. You want to talk about Leo first?
Inception's a better movie.
I would say Inception's a way better movie, but this is the dad's.
So, all right. So his whole goal, I guess, is to like get back to his kids, or at least that's
in Inception.
In Inception, that's the narrative. He has to go through crazy, insane, dreamscapes to try to get back to his kids.
Now, fundamentally,
we ever mention this is way different? But Interstellar, Matthew McConaughey's character.
No,
great dad.
Honorable mention.
Which also should have had the guy from Honey I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah,
yeah. It's been forever since I've seen that. So.
Anyways,
the 3-hour Father's Day special. So,
yeah.
Fundamentally, in Inception, he's put himself sort of in this situation where he tricked, like he basically drove his wife to kill herself.
Yeah.
Which is like a huge fundamental error. And I feel like he's on a redemption arc the entire movie.
I think so.
The
whole reason they were doing it was because they liked going into that world almost like a drug. You know, that's how it kind of started.
Versus the Liam Neeson's character from Taken, where he's just got a special set of skills.
I have a very special set of skills.
Are a very particular set of skills.
And he's doing anything and just using all of his past experiences to his advantage to get his daughter back.
Yeah.
Now,
of course, he had a rocky relationship with his wife or ex-wife, I feel like, too.
I think so.
It's been forever since I've seen
Taken. He didn't drive her to kill herself, though.
Very valid.
I think he might have said specific set of skills. I don't know. We'll see in the clip.
I don't know. We'll see. Now, was he the reason in Taken that his daughter was kidnapped in the first place? Like they were trying to get
No,
I can't remember.
It was probably a sequel. This one's like sex trafficking.
It was like a random. They grabbed these girls. So
they went to Paris.
It wasn't like people from his past were coming after him or something.
Right. So to me, that makes him almost the better father because he's literally going above and beyond to find his daughter.
That's what I was about to say. he takes the call. You know, Leo's trying to, or Cobb, he's trying to redeem all his mess ups and ultimately get to see his kids again. Whereas Liam Neeson, you know, he has some mess ups, but he's like, I'm going to take it all on my back. Yeah. I don't need a team of, you know, Tom Hardy and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and all these people to help me out. I'm going to do it on my own and get my daughter back.
Yeah,
and guess what? Spoiler alert, he does.
Yeah. Now, we can all agree Inception is the better movie, though.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
And in Inception, we honestly don't know if he did get back to his kids or not, right? It's it's left open.
That is true, because the little top is like spinning perpetually at the end.
Exactly. So I guess we're going with, what's Liam Neeson's character's name?
Brian Mills.
What a plain name.
Yeah. I think we vote. I'm voting Taken.
I'm going Taken.
Taken.
Wow, another unanimous win.
Yep.
All right. In round five, we've got Darth Vader versus Lee from A Quiet Place.
Fight!
This is not even a question.
That is like, yeah, easy.
Yeah, I mean, okay, it helps. I just saw Quiet Place 2 yesterday, but having just, he, in the first film, he goes, the dude is like literally perfect in terms of like trying to take care of his family, like keeping everyone safe. Like, and when you see part two, and this is in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler, but he, you just kind of see like how quickly he reacted when the invasion or whatever it is happens. It's like he instinctually is a great father. He grabs his kids and runs.
The self-sacrifice at the end of the first movie.
Exactly. He dies for his children.
Are you telling me that Darth Vader didn't self-sacrifice for his kid?
That's true. but the instinctual, like, he, I think at a core level, Lee is a great father and would do anything and die for his kids. Whereas Darth Vader, it took him until... it took him a long time to find that, to redeem himself, you know?
And you know what? The Lee from A Quiet Place likes sand. He walks across it to keep quiet, and Darth Vader thinks it's coarse and it gets everywhere.
I don't like sand.
So...
yes! Oh my god.
I don't know.
I'm going to vote Darth Vader only because I think it is the most iconic father. Like, if you think anything of Darth Vader, what do you think of? Luke, I am your father.
That's a valid argument.
What I would like to point out, though, is that that's not hardly anyone ever remembers that he didn't say, like, Leia, I'm your father. You know what I mean? And it's like, he's sexist. So, if you want to vote for a sexist murderer, go right ahead.
Leia wasn't in the room.
Doesn't matter.
I thought I saw something, too, forever ago, and this might be wrong, but you know the whole, what's the effect where it's like the Berenstain Bears?
Yeah,
I always Mandela. Forget the name.
Yeah, that's true.
I heard that there was a Mandela effect of like, Luke, I am your father. He doesn't say that.
Yeah. It doesn't say it. He just says, I am your father.
No, I am your father.
Yeah. Search your feelings or whatever. He doesn't say Luke.
You know it to be true.
How did that become a thing? Because it definitely has been said to me a million times my whole life.
Luke, my people are alternate timelines.
My dad's never said that to me. like why would you,
hold
like,
up. This is opening up.
Why would your dad come in the room and go, Brad, I am your father? That makes no sense. Yeah. I mean, it's because it was never a question.
My dad also never cut off my hand, so thank you, Dad.
Yeah, they only say that if it's a question of if you didn't know if they were your dad or not.
I definitely think he's the most iconic.
Yeah.
But he cuts off his hand. Which really sucks.
Jerk.
Yeah, but he also, the guy that is attacking him in Return of the Jedi, he, you know, pretty much throws him off the cliff and self-sacrifices.
I mean, that's true. Direct Palpatine.
He ultimately redeems himself in the situation.
But would A Quiet Place eventually become a classic given enough time? Like, would it ever achieve the level of Star Wars?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if it'd be Star Wars level.
I
think it'll be a classic. I think it's going to be like a franchise thing that they eventually probably ruin because they're going to do so many movies and like games and TV shows.
Are you saying that,
just like Star Wars. That like,
you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah.
I agree that John Krasinski's character in The Quiet Place is probably a way more noble and better dad, but I'm just, for this one only, I'll probably just vote, you know, Darth Vader because he's iconic.
That's a really hard decision.
Yeah, because it's like, do we want Darth Vader to make it through this to the end, you know?
I'm going to stick up for John Krasinski and make Luke have to be the tiebreaker.
I'm definitely voting for John Krasinski. I made the whole argument for him.
Get wrecked, Darth Vader. I'm sorry, Brad. I was torn. I almost voted Darth Vader.
You almost went to the dark side.
He can be at the end as worst dad.
Well, we'll have a loser's bracket.
All right. So in round six, we've got Dr. Henry Jones from The Last Crusade versus Jack Torrance.
Fight!
Oh.
So Sean Connery in the third Indiana Jones movie or Jack Nicholson in The Shining?
To me, this one seems like a pretty easy decision, but we'll see.
What? Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Great iconic dad. Iconic dad. Yes.
Definitely iconic.
I mean, you go after your family with an axe, makes you memorable.
I mean, he's that one shot has been used like countless times in movies and like parodied in like multiple different ways. It's definitely iconic.
Yes.
And Sean Connery's character is almost forgettable, I feel like. Like,
Sean Connery.
If you ask someone about Indiana Jones, they're going to think about Indiana. They're not going to think about Sean Connery's character in The Last Crusade, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. That's not the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
True.
What was his dad's, like, I'm trying to remember, like, what was he doing when they first introduced him in the series?
Didn't they show up at, like, his house or something?
Yeah, he's packing and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I think he was looking for the Grail in Italy, right? Maybe
something like that.
And they were like,
"There's
that
scene where
they went to like his hotel room or something."
Yeah, and
like
he's
that.
Like, takes it out. And he keeps putting something in. And he takes the thing out, and it's that whole like cool scene where all the movement's happening. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to remember like what his kind of motivations were.
The only things I really remember from his character is like the constant bickering between him and Indy, and then like the pole vault scene.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, even the end, like, he's not a great dad, I don't feel like, because it takes him a while to... They're working together, but at odds, like you mentioned. But not like Jack Torrance, yeah.
Jack Torrance is, like, out to kill, so...
Is Jack Torrance a worse father than Darth Vader?
Yes. He doesn't really have any redeemable moments. He just is out frozen at the end, like, all right.
Although, I will say, I mean, I think he had some, like, mental illness or something. So, you know, he had stuff happening.
Way to make me feel like a total terrible person.
No, but wait, so did Anakin, though.
I was
about
to say, I don't know if you could argue that Darth Vader, wrong up there.
Right, think about what these guys went through to make them into those characters, you know? So, everyone has a backstory, I guess. I'm looking at this, though, like, let's see.
Is this Indiana Jones?
Yes, let's see. It says that Indiana's father, a professor of medieval literature who cared more about looking for the Grail than raising his son.
Mm.
So that I remember that. I was trying to remember. That was sort of his, like...
Jack Torrance wasn't an absentee father.
That's true. He just
wasn't good at it.
Very, very present.
Too present.
he locked his family in a place and stayed with them.
I like want to vote for Sean Connery, but like my gut tells me I should vote for Jack Torrance.
Don't forget this though. Okay. Jack Torrance did beat his kid.
yeah, exactly. He definitely did.
Red Rum.
I might ride the iconic train this round.
I'm almost with you because like Harrison Ford. Sean Connery.
Sorry, Brad.
I love Indiana Jones.
You love it for Harrison Ford.
I know, yeah.
Is Indy a good father to Shia LaBeouf in the fourth one?
No.
Because he didn't really know.
He didn't even know he existed. Yeah. But I mean, I guess he could have been a better father if he had known about him, maybe.
What's up with Harrison Ford and like characters not knowing that they have kids?
What else was it?
Blade Runner.
Oh.
The sequel.
Yep.
Spoiler alert.
All right. I don't know.
I'm voting Jack Torrance from The Shining.
I'll go Jack Torrance.
That seals it. What would you vote?
I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, what would you vote?
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's okay. I kind of wanted Jack Torrance to make it through.
Are we to the, like...
Probably won't make it much farther.
No, we've got two more in this first round, okay, and we're going to get into...
Okay, we'll do two more and then take a commercial break.
So. All right. So up next, we've got Mufasa.
Okay.
Okay.
Versus Chris Gardner, which is the dad from The Pursuit of Happiness.
Fight!
Dang.
Oh, man. I'm going Mufasa.
Yeah, Mufasa.
Easy pick,
dude.
Yeah, I would say Mufasa.
I mean,
but
I think Will Smith's character is a great dad.
Yeah, definitely. The whole movie is him like trying to get, you know, build a better life for his son and like the obstacles he's overcoming, you know.
Mufasa guided his son beyond the grave though, so.
True. But like what all did he teach his son other than like, one day this will all be yours.
And don't go to the dark place. Yeah. We never go there.
Yeah. I feel like he didn't really teach him many values, but maybe when he was a ghost, I can't remember what he said to him as a force ghost, but...
I just remember it was very inspirational, but that's all I remember.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely my favorite movie as a child. It's just, and if we're looking at iconic, that was a movie that that shaped my childhood, whereas... Pursuit of Happiness is not a film that I really love. I mean, I think Will Smith is amazing, and I think he is a great dad in the movie, but it's not a film that I would ever like sit down and watch again, probably, just because...
I agree.
Does it carry more weight with it being Will Smith's actual son, Jaden, playing the son role in Pursuit of Happiness?
I don't know.
Or is that almost like cheating?
I don't know. It's like also just... seeing a lot of behind the scenes of the Smith family the past year or so, I'm kind of like not that excited to think about what their inner like circle is like.
Yeah. I agree. Mufasa is more iconic to me too.
Yeah,
I would go Mufasa.
I would too.
Mufasa.
I think too. It's all just right. Again, he might not have in the movie said a lot, but him dying. Made Simba ultimately who he
what
was.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mufasa.
Final score. Three for Mufasa.
Yeah.
Right. Unana Mufasa.
We've gone through the first round.
Okay. Nope, we've got one more in the first round.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I lied.
Yep. So in our eighth round, we've got Clark Griswold versus Jack Burns from Meet the Parents.
Fight!
Oh, man.
So Jack Burns, if you're unfamiliar, is Robert De Niro's character that Ben Stiller's character meets. You know, he is the parent.
Yeah,
one of the parents.
He's in that, like, it's a definitely a sort of iconic situation, or I guess a what would you call it? It's a relatable situation where this guy, he's going to ask for his daughter's hand, you know, but he's, you know, literally it's called Meet the Parents, and it's, I think everyone can kind of relate to that fear of meeting someone's parents for the first time, and Robert De Niro's character is just the most intimidating dad you could ever meet. Mm-hmm. So he's like literally a CIA, like retired CIA, I think, and so he's very good with his tactics, is, you know, he can get the truth out of people. Mm-hmm. Now it makes him a little overly paranoid and incapable of seeing that this guy makes his daughter happy, right? He can't see that.
And that overall, he's a pretty, you know, Ben Stiller's character.
Ben Stiller's a good guy. He loves her. He's there for the right reasons, but he can't see that because he's sort of blinded by his CIA training for one, and then he probably doesn't trust anybody, you know. And
overprotective dad.
Unfortunately, he had to lie to his family for many years because of that job. So, you know, pretty dishonest dad.
How do you feel about Clark Griswold?
I think he's the best dad of all time.
I think he's a very realistic dad too.
Yeah,
because he wants to make these iconic moments for his family.
Right, he's trying to make like
memorable
things that they'll remember
and
forever.
Just everything gets in the way, but yeah, he's trying though.
Yeah, and he's not perfect,
and I think there's a lot of selfish reasons why he wants his kids to experience this, but still he does want to take them to Wally World, and he does want to have this perfect Christmas with all the lights and stuff. I guess we're not talking about the sequels, but whatever. I think Clark Griswold is such a, like, we've used the word iconic way too many times, but he's such a like figure that's like cemented into.
I'd probably vote for him over Robert De Niro's character.
I like that character a lot, but I think Clark Griswold. He just, he's almost one of the like best written dads, where he really, you know, you can almost see, I mean, in all those movies, you can see bits of your family and people you know through every character.
There's a lot of truth.
Very relatable. Yeah.
They have a lot of truth in their comedy, and it's so funny, man. I'm cracking up just thinking about it. Are you serious, Clark? Isn't that the line?
Yeah.
You serious, Clark?
Yeah.
Cousin Eddie.
He's like, I couldn't be more surprised if I woke up with my head sewn to the carpet or whatever. Like, so many good lines.
I say I'm going for Clark Griswold.
I'm going for Clark.
Clark Griswold it is.
That concludes our first round.
Nice.
All right.
Let it be noted that Andrew kept on saying round 8, all these numbers, and then now he goes, first round.
I guess.
Matchup?
Well, I guess it would be matchups. I don't know what it's called.
I don't either.
Well, because then it's like, and you're going to go to like, semifinals yet.
Look, let's tell the audience, we came up with this idea this morning, so there you have it.
I came in and they were like, make a bracket.
Yes.
You're like, okay.
All right, let's take a break. Hey guys, we just wanted to take a quick second to tell you we have launched our Patreon page. It's a place where listeners can help support the show and gain access to exclusive content.
Now for $5 a month, our Patreon members get bonus episodes like our classic movie nights, where we watch classic films and talk in depth about what we liked, what hasn't aged as well, and how they achieve some of their special effects.
You'll also get early access to episodes before they're released to the public, and we'll give you a shout out on an episode of the show as well. Now this is a growing platform, so we'll be adding all kinds of new content over time, and you can gain access to all of it exclusively at patreon.com/friendsfromfilmschool.
You can follow @SozoBearFilms on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Now let's get back to the show.
So in our, whatever you want to call this, our next matchup.
The dad-a-thon.
We're in round two.
Yes, right? We're in round two, matchup one. Okay, I'll say it like that. We've got Mrs. Doubtfire versus George McFly.
Fight!
I gotta think about this my gut tells me George McFly.
I see my gut saying Mrs. Doubtfire.
Me too. Just because like George McFly doesn't go to the end, like he's not
willing to put in the work to,
against all whatever you think about what Robin Williams' character did, it's like he was trying to get close to his family. He didn't want to miss those years of like, you know, that developing, you know, these developing years where these kids are growing up. In spite of the fact that he may have done it in a really weird way and lied to everyone. But like,
that's fair.
I feel like George McFly, his character's not a lot. I mean, the story's just not a lot about like what he really
I guess
did
it's more about Marty than it is.
Yeah. It doesn't do. Yeah. What he did as a father is not
that's fair.
That memorable. So I'd say we go with,
you've convinced me.
Ellis, very hard to convince.
I'm very easily swayed.
All right.
Except when it came to Darth Vader for an argument. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Ms. Doubtfire.
I'm not upset.
All right. So Ms. Doubtfire takes the win.
Yeah.
And then our next matchup. This is perfect.
Okay.
We've got Marlon versus Brian Mills from Taken.
Fight.
Oh,
oh no.
Dang, dude.
Oh, God.
It's the same story.
It is the exact same story.
Never thought about that. That's what this video is called. It's like, did you know that Finding Nemo and Taken are the same movie? Clickbait.
The more memorable movie for me was Finding Nemo.
Yeah, me
well,
too.
Wait, hold on. What if in Taken, like, Liam Neeson met someone who had, like, constant short-term memory loss?
That would just be getting incredible. In his way.
I thought you were about to say that was in there, and I was like, whoa!
No.
Finding Nemo, I think, is up there on the list of, like,
yeah,
movies that will be remembered.
I think, too, it's like, Marlon, I feel like he learns more in the process.
Learns a ton, yeah.
He comes out of his shell, makes a lot of friends along the way.
And he understands that the world, you don't need to isolate yourself and only keep to this one little spot, that, like, it's not as scary of a place. Whereas I mean,
Liam Neeson just keeps doing
he
what
he kills
always,
people.
Well, he's
and
doing
then, and
like,
then the sequels, he's just
He doesn't change, though. Like, he's, does his character change at all? It's like, I don't know the story well enough, but he's basically doing what he knew how to do, and then for the rest of
just an action movie. I think he kind of becomes maybe a little bit better father, you know, to his daughter because he cares for her.
Well, and she was taken, so he became better.
Not only, though, does Marlon change, but he also changes Dory's life, and you see Dory's own character development come into play because of Marlon. So it's not only just him, he's
Influencing other people. Agree too that it's like the sequels to Taken, it's the same story over and over again. And then they're like Finding Dory. Have y'all seen that one? Okay, like I feel like
wasn't great.
Yeah, but
it's a different story.
It's a different enough story. You know, whereas like Taken, what, there's three of them, and it, you know,
there's three.
Yes,
it's like Taken Paris edition. Taken.
I've seen part two,
and by the third one, I would love for you to cut to this clip. There's like a minute-long segment of him trying to climb a fence, and it's cut in like 50 different
times. I've seen that clip. There literally is at least like 20 different angles of him just jumping over a fence. It's like an example of most overcut scene ever. Like, they just keep cutting.
And this might be petty, but that's my reason why he's not the best dad, and my vote goes for Marlon.
Marlon.
I vote Marlon. Easy.
Sorry, Liam.
All right, this
what
next...
if he comes and takes us?
That'd be awesome.
Oh, no.
This next round is really going to define what the criteria of this competition is.
Okay.
We've got Lee from A Quiet Place versus Jack Torrance.
Fight!
I can tell you, I'm going with Lee.
I definitely want to vote Lee, but let's at least talk it out a little bit and figure out why.
Okay, you know what that sounded like to me, Luke?
What?
Let me convince Ellis to go with Jack Torrance with me.
Why would you vote Jack Torrance?
Let's see. One, he...
I'll tell you why. He hasn't seen A Quiet Place 2, and that's why he would vote for Jack Torrance.
But we're not including the sequels.
It doesn't matter, though, but you know in your heart and soul what a great movie that one is, and that that John Krasinski, as a director, deserves to be Dad of the Year.
Convince me, Brad.
Okay, if we're bringing in sequels, Dr. Sleep, right? Danny becomes a main character to his own story afterwards.
That's fair. I haven't seen Dr. Sleep, though.
Me either, and that's what makes this argument really funny.
I'm literally the only one. I'm the only one who's seen that movie. And it was all right.
But let's say Stephen King wrote The Shining.
He did?
But then they made it. We'll get there. As a way to expose how terrible of a father he was to his children.
Is that true?
You
can't just lie to make Ellis believe stuff.
I believe anything.
Yeah, please be careful with your words. You could create a monster. He's like, I hate Stephen King.
I'm literally going to take that and tell everyone for the next 8 years.
No, it was like Stephen King, like he was realizing some of the faults he had as a dad.
Yeah.
You know, when writing this and his alcoholism, and it was him working through it. And so that's why he really hates the movie version, because Jack Torrance is turned into really a villain throughout. And, you know, Stephen King, if he's using Jack as a surrogate to really expose his terrible side, he's upset when Kubrick turns him into just a villain.
Okay. But if we're bringing in personal lives, I mean, John Krasinski has his literal wife in the film. They work together on the movie, and they have children together. And it's like, I think his relationship with his kids is part of why he wanted to make this movie, you know, to begin with, because the whole story is like, for him, I think, is, you know, taking care of his family, keeping them safe in amidst the apocalypse.
Fair. Now, the one downside to his character is he let one of his kids totally get eaten. It wasn't his fault necessarily, but it still happened.
And guess whose son lived throughout all the terrible stuff of The Shining? Danny Torrance.
But now he did keep his wife safe as she gave birth.
That was
very
impressive.
In the first movie. And this is like that's allowed.
Going to help my argument, but guess who, as an actor, set his movie wife on a path of mental illness and falling out of Hollywood?
Yes.
Jack Torrance.
But he like literally set up fireworks and all this crazy stuff to be able to. Like,
had a cool
to mask
farm.
Mask the sound of his
guess
wife.
Guess who took
birth.
His son to a maze?
to keep his wife safe, bro. Like he kept them safe. I mean, how everyone else in the world is almost dead, but he was able to keep them safe.
I do gotta say, I love that waterfall scene a lot. He lets a quiet place.
He lets his son scream at a waterfall.
I know,
because he knew he needed to get out there.
Guess who
scream.
Doesn't care if his son screams?
Brad, I'm sorry, I have to go with A Quiet Place.
Yes, A Quiet Place is my
It was very hard to argue for Jack Time.
I know.
You did good. It's me, Brad.
You did good.
Thank you, Andrew.
Honestly, the Stephen King argument almost got me. Like,
that was a pretty good argument.
But I don't know that that's true. I looked that up and I didn't see anything about that. But he wrote it because he was a bad dad.
And he was working through his alcoholism. That was a good...
I think he may have been an alcoholic.
No, he was definitely an alcoholic.
Yeah, but then he got
the
inspired.
The guy wrote books
He was a drug addict
for
a long time.
He wrote books on cocaine and doesn't remember writing the book. So yeah, he definitely probably...
And then it was like, all that came up, and I didn't really do a lot of research, I was just skimming, was like, that he got inspired because he stayed in a creepy hotel that was like haunted or something.
Oh my gosh, what a boring... I don't like that backstory. I like Brad's backstory better.
I fully believe that there... I don't think I'm pulling that out of nowhere. Uh-huh. So
I buy it. I'll tell everyone.
I'll look...
All right, who's next?
I'll look into it some more.
Yeah. Who's next?
All right, next, this is another good one. We've got Mufasa versus Clark Griswold.
Oh.
Fight!
It is a tough one.
Clark Griswold is the more relatable one.
Yeah.
Mufasa is a lion.
A lion dead.
Mufasa shaped a lot of my childhood, though.
I thought you said shaved.
I was like, wait. Shaped a lot of my childhood.
Okay.
I'm going to argue against Mufasa on this.
Any good
dad wouldn't let their son, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, turn into Matthew Broderick.
Oh, dude, that took me a second.
I will say that Mufasa was a little gullible.
Yeah.
It cost him his life.
And Clark Griswold wasn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair.
Clark Griswold.
Both of them have really bad in-laws.
Acne. I know what you're about to say.
So like Scar is, you know, his brother.
Oh, and you're right.
Clark has cousin Eddie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Scar ate Mufasa, so that's a little scuffed.
Well, that's like what...
That's just their culture, though.
But that's also people filling in the pieces from the...
It totally makes sense, though. I'm just saying, so...
Yeah, we didn't see him eat him, right?
Yeah, he
definitely has a worse brother, if you believe that he ate him.
I mean, he killed him either way, whereas cousin Eddie definitely didn't try to kill Clark.
That's fair.
No, the grandmother... Your grandmother died in that movie.
Yes.
And they accidentally left a dog tied up to the back of the car.
Sure.
So that's pretty bad.
But that, other than some emotional scarring, yeah. And really, I don't know if it was that bad because, well, it possibly was
dogs.
Because, no, not at all. I love dogs, but I was going to say it might actually be that bad because they had to change out the children in each sequel movie.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Different kids.
That's funny. But in my defense for Clark Griswold, if he's playing a father to many different kids and does a good job.
My personal bias is for Mufasa because he's shaped a lot of like my childhood, and that's just strictly like personal bias.
Dang, yeah, Mufasa. I mean, The Lion King. Like I said, I saw it so many times in the theater. It was literally the first like CD that I owned.
It was my first like thing, my VHS tape that I had of it. Uh-huh. I would play it like over and over and watch The Lion King on repeat.
Well, for me, a family tradition of ours is watching Christmas Vacation every Christmas. So
that's why
I've spent a lot of time with Clark Griswold.
Yeah,
that's why I'm torn because
it's a really hard choice. I didn't watch any of his movies until like my later years in life. So like,
no,
it's not as special to me as like Lion King.
Mufasa didn't, you know, try hitting on a lingerie, you know, saleswoman with his son.
Look, Clark's not perfect. Okay.
Mufasa wasn't that perfect either. He died like really early on into Simba's childhood.
Dude, all of Ellis's reasons are like, he's kind of gullible and he died. And, like, stuff that he like.
I still love him though.
Something you can't blame.
Because I had this on VHS.
He came back from beyond the grave though.
Clark didn't have the chance.
Yeah, that's true.
And
and he never will.
The issue is Chevy Chase is kind of a jerk. So
also, yeah, Chevy Chase is a terrible person. So
nah, he's not.
I don't actually know if that's not true. Great, that's great, but that's like speculation from people that have worked with him. But
oh, that, like in real life.
Yeah. In real life,
I don't know what y'all were talking about. Well, I hope, so you're voting
Mufasa. I'm going to vote Mufasa.
I'm going Clark.
I think I got to go Clark Griswold.
Goodbye, Mufasa.
Fatality. All right, now we're on to the semifinals. Yes. These are the four daddest dads in film history.
Yes.
Yes.
Daddest of the dads.
All right.
Hey, Dad.
In our first matchup of semifinals, we've got Mrs. Doubtfire versus Marlon.
Ooh.
Fight.
Okay.
We need a TV show of this edition so we can have like Hank Hill and stuff in here.
Next year.
It'd be amazing.
Hey, Dad.
Mrs. Doubtfire versus Marlon?
I think I would go with Marlon.
I still would vote Marlon, I think.
Me too.
I think that's just an easy win, honestly.
It's like Mrs. Doubtfire. I feel like that was an easier bracket, too, to go up against. Like, who did Robin Williams?
Went up against The Godfather.
Yeah.
And then George McFly, which is two easy wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely like, I don't think he has.
I mean, we're semifinals, man. Like, Marlon went through a lot. He traveled a long ways. And ultimately, he got the job done.
Faced death countless times.
He did not, like, really have any, like, lasting trauma that he, like, forced on his child by dressing up as a nanny.
Yeah.
If anything, Nemo's.
He didn't lie to him, really. Yeah. I don't think.
And he's going to. Nemo lives a great life.
He might have lied to him about going out beyond. Yeah. But still, I think Marlon gets.
I feel like that's justified, though, because his wife literally got eaten along with all
of
his kids.
I would also say that like part of that is his own trauma that he extended onto his son.
Yeah. You know? I think that's the case with everything in life, just about.
It did lead his son to rebel, but then his son was like, uh oh, this isn't like. Learned quickly why his dad was like, don't go out there.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Sorry, Marlon, Robin Williams.
In our next, this is going to be a good one. We've got Lee versus Clark Griswold.
Fight.
Oh, I feel like this is the internal debate of Luke. It's
like, yeah. This is.
Luke's two champions have met
to me
face to face.
I still would vote Lee.
Me too. I vote Lee.
Let's get this over. They also know I wasn't going to vote for Lee.
We gotta do it. We gotta get it. We gotta just force him through.
I was going to argue for Clark. Bring up good.
You don't
points.
Want to. You don't want to make an argument, Brad.
Oh, I will, but they're not going.
Convince We've already me. Voted. We've already voted.
You sure, Brad? You haven't voted yet. You want to talk a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, convince let's talk. Me.
You
let's
can
talk.
Still talk either. You can't change your vote, but go ahead.
So Clark Griswold. It's not. Yep. It's like a good stew. It's just stirring. There's
he's calculating.
He's got like the squirrel in there.
I'm thinking like my brain's going different ways. Of like, how can I convince Ellis? How can I convince Ellis? Let's see. Clark didn't sacrifice himself.
His kids would have died if he didn't sacrifice himself. Though.
Who?
Lee.
Yeah.
Would Clark have, if Clark was in the same situation, do you think Clark would have screamed out and saved his kids?
Clark has screamed out many times.
Would he have died for his kids?
Yes, or would he have let his kids be eaten?
I think he's a noble enough dad. He cares about his family. You know, some of the stuff he does, like we said earlier, is a little, you know, self-serving. He wants to have these classic family moments, even though, you know, his family isn't perfect, picturesque, but no one's family is like that, you know? And I don't know, like, he...
To me, I feel like... took the two families and put them in each other's worlds, if I put John Krasinski and his family in, like, the idealistic, happy-go-lucky family life, I think that they would have, like, a picture-perfect family.
He'd be an even better dad.
Yes. If I took Clark Griswold and his family and put them in an apocalypse with the crazy sound zombies, aliens,
dead.
Whatever, They're insta-dead. Yeah.
Dead.
They're not going to make it very far. So I think Lee is the better father in both stories.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, how the turns have tabled. I think they've convinced me. We'll go with Lee.
Dude, that's a good argument, man. That you put them in argument. Each other's movies?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is it.
Okay.
This is the daddest of dads. The final matchup.
I'm not ready for this
one. In our dad-a-thon. And we've got Marlon versus Lee.
Fight!
This is really hard.
Marlon from Finding Nemo versus Lee. Let's make the argument. Y'all have just seen the
A Quiet Place 2.
Quiet Place Part 2. I have not. Did y'all even know this guy's name was Lee? I've seen the first movie. I couldn't have told you what his name was.
I did not know what his name was, and I know Marlon's name.
Because it's the name of the fish.
No,
they mentioned it like they mentioned it a million times in the movie where he's like, my name's Marlon, I'm a clownfish. And they're like, tell us a joke. And it's terrible.
But does like a name, is that make your character more memorable? Look at The Road. Look at the movie The Road. We learned that guy's name was Man. Look at Fight Club. That is just narrator. He doesn't have a name.
No, I don't think the name makes or breaks it, but I'm just saying it's a good argument.
Does a name make a man?
What makes a man?
That and a pair of testicles.
Is it being prepared to do the right thing? Whatever the cost. Isn't that what makes a man?
Sure, that and a pair of testicles.
What's that from, Ellis?
You already know.
Big Lebowski.
Okay, thank you. If we quote a movie, it's probably Big Lebowski.
I have an 80% chance of it being Big Lebowski.
He still hesitates. We're going to get him one day.
I've seen the movie one time. They've seen it like 50 million.
Jeff Bridges is like, he's smoking he's like, you mind if I do a J? And that's it. And then he goes, that and a pair of testicles. Like, as he's like, it's just such good acting. Sorry. Off track. Where were we? Marlon.
Not a great dad in the movie, but a great character is Brent in Big Lebowski, the way he laughs.
Yeah.
But I go Marlon. He traveled a lot further. Here's the argument against them. Marlon lost way more kids than Lee ever did.
Sure did. But to be fair, it took one load to have like 50 million kids.
Bro. Load. Bro, did you say load?
Your use of dick
they had like thousands of kids. It was like one go.
Okay, all right. Well, look, let's put Marlon in the world of A Quiet Place. You think he's surviving longer?
Well,
oh, crap, they can't swim. He would survive longer.
One, well, actually, because Lee would drown and then Marlon would suffocate instantly, they'd both be dead.
I see what you mean. I meant like,
I think Lee would drown louder, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I meant Marlon. Marlon was. I didn't think about Marlon being on land, but I just meant in the water. The creatures can't swim or whatever. So,
I think like, if you think about it, Marlon had to go and went above all odds to save his kid, but Lee's been protecting his kids for years against this like threat. So
I think the obstacles that he faces are a little tougher than
Lee.
Yeah, than Marlon, because I mean Marlon does go across the ocean and he faces giant fish and stuff.
Not just giant fish.
Sharks.
He faces sharks, bombs, like the crazy lantern fish.
But like the fact that you have to be like silent, these things come out of nowhere and they're way faster, they're huge, and it seems like they're everywhere. If you make a noise anywhere in A Quiet Place, they're there.
But to be fair though, Lee has a bunch of stuff that they've learned, like how to fight against these things, so he's already got equipment and stuff and tools on hand, where Marlon literally just has himself and Dory.
Well, but starting out he didn't, right? I mean, on day one of the attack, he had to just get his family safe somewhere and then figures it out.
That's true. It just, I like the idea of Marlon being the little guy that's like going against like much bigger world.
Yeah.
And overcomes all those odds to save his kid versus Lee, who's just surviving, like, and keeping his family safe.
Both of them are about keeping the family safe, which is a perfect segue to a family. Fast and Furious.
No, please. I don't want to see Fast and Furious.
I have two free tickets to Fate of the Furious this weekend. I've been getting them every week, and no one wants to go see these movies. No. I mean, that is true, but I don't also want to see them. But Marlon.
This hurts me on the inside.
Because this is the winner, right?
I want to vote.
This is it.
This is the winner.
I have my vote. I want to see what Luke says.
I want to guess what each of y'all are going to say.
I have my vote locked in.
Okay. Do you have your vote?
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet he's going to go Lee. You're going to go Marlon. I'm going to go Marlon.
What is yours?
Lee.
Marlon.
Marlon.
You guys just threw away a good man.
Just like the first movie.
You guys just murdered him all over
again.
Hey,
to be fair, Marlon makes it to the sequel.
Marlon.
So does John Krasinski.
Alive?
Yes.
Is that a
back in
spoiler?
Time.
Yeah, back in time.
It's in the sequel.
The daddest dad of all time is Marlon.
Finish him. Fatality.
Good job, guys.
Not even a real person.
Hey, you gave it to a fish, an animated fish. I hope you're happy. Though. Goodbye.
Bonus round. Oh, lose out. I was going to say bonus round. Favorite adoptive dad, like father figure.
Oh, H.I. McDonough from Raising Arizona.
He definitely needs honorable mention.
Anyone, let's go save Nathan Jr.
Yeah.
Mandalorian.
There you go.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I would say Yondu, really just off the top
of
my head.
From Guardians, yeah.
He may have been your father, boy, but he wasn't your daddy.
Just because he has a good dying quote.
Yeah. He sure does.
You know who's not a great dad from Guardians of the Galaxy is Kurt Russell's character.
Or Thanos.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about Thanos? I mean,
Thanos.
I guess it depends on the kid.
That's fair.
He's got four that like him pretty good.
Yeah.
He at least said, I'm sorry, before he threw her off a cliff. Decapitated.
Dang. In-game spoilers. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's time to spoil that movie, I guess.
Yep.
Well, Marlon is the daddest dad of all time.
Was a really hard decision between Lee and Marlon.
I will say this. I feel like you guys convinced me of John Krasinski's character being a really good dad throughout this whole episode.
I mean, in A Quiet Place, he's an amazing dad.
And it's like, I like A Quiet Place, but I didn't even... He wasn't in my list to include him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. I'm surprised.
I tried to force him through.
But no, for real, I really feel like... I was like, okay, yeah, brought up some really good points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one I'm most kind of upset didn't make it through was Clark Griswold.
What about Darth Vader?
Darth Vader's not, like, if we're talking about good dads, you know, like...
He's not a good dad.
Because
when
we first said Clark Griswold, I was like, man, I think he's going to make it to the end. He was like my mental pick to be the winner.
I will say, though, we didn't know what the criteria was, but I think we narrowed it down to what a great father really is, and that was protecting your family at all costs. And like I was saying, John Krasinski was instinctually just a good father. I think he's a good person in the movie, in the story. So the same with Marlon's character. Mm-hmm. He's like,
yep, I love him.
Going after it. He's.
I love him.
But we figured it out. We figured out what our criteria was. It wasn't just the most iconic dad.
No.
Right? Because I don't think that Lee's character is iconic, but I think he's a great
both are,
movie dad.
Yeah, willing to sacrifice for their families and really instill great morals and ethics into their kids.
Yep.
And I think that's anything you can ask for in a dad.
Well, let's say Happy Father's Day to
happy
everyone
Father's
out
Day.
There.
Yes, absolutely.
Happy Father's Day. Day, Dad. I know you watch and listen.
Wait a second.
What did you say?
He just said happy...
Did you say, were you saying Happy Father's Day to me?
I thought he said Happy Father's Day to you, but he said Happy Father's Day, Dad, and looked at you. And I was like,
no.
I was like, wait a second.
No.
Thanks, son.
We're living in Back to the Future right now.
I was talking to my actual dad.
I was like, what?
All right. Let's get out of here.